Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And there's nothing which silences the accusations of Satan like righteousness.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The subject is the Christian's great conflict. I think the whole burden of Paul's message in this passage is that the Christian must never go out to battle without being properly armed. And I think along with that burden, he would suggest to us that we must never underestimate the craft nor the genius of our foe. As I look at verses 13 to 17, I see this armor, first of all, stated generally, and that's verse 13. And then I see it, secondly, stated specifically, where he begins to delineate in some more detail what he means by that armor. First, I see it stated generally in verse 13, and then it's stated more specifically in verses 14 to 17. In that general sense, he says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, there are a number of things we could say about that verse, but that's not the verse I want to emphasize. I don't want to get into the more specific detail, but there are a number of things we could say about it. I'll just say two things about it. As I look at verse 13, I see at least two things that are important. One, there's an element of personal appropriation. He says, "I want you to take unto you the whole armor of God." And there's a certain sense in which we're active in that process. Personal appropriation. Take unto you the whole armor of God. By faith, trust the Lord to give you the necessary resources to conquer the influence of the evil one. There's also a purposeful aim here, not only a personal appropriation, but there's also a purposeful aim. He says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God," and here's the aim, here's the purpose, "that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." But now Paul says, I want to be a little more precise. And so after I've stated it generally, he says in verse 13, now I want to state it specifically. And that's what he begins to do in verses 14 to 17. And he lists for us six main pieces of a soldier's equipment. He makes reference to the belt. And then he makes reference to the breastplate. And then he makes reference to the boots. And then he makes reference to the shield. And then he makes reference to the Roman helmet. And then finally he makes reference to the sword. And Paul uses each piece of the Roman soldier's equipment as a portrait of some very precious commodities in the Christian experience, which we will absolutely have to integrate into our lives and build into our lives, and without which we will utterly fail in this conflict. So what are those specific pieces of armor? Paul says, number one, we'll need the belt of truth. Do you see verse 14? "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." We will need, number one, the belt of truth. What does it mean? I think it means two things. When Paul refers to the responsibility of every one of us as girding our loins with truth, I believe he has at least two ideas in his mind. Number one, I believe it speaks of Scripture. And number two, it speaks of sincerity in our Christian experience. Both those ideas are inherent in what the Apostle Paul is saying. Number one, it speaks of truth, a revelation of God in the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word, the pages of Scripture, because it is only the truth that can dispel the devil's lies and set us free. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." John 8, verses 32 and 36. It is by the Scriptures that we become strong and secure. And so Paul is saying that we must build our lives on the solid foundation of God's universal and non-optional principles of truth revealed in the Scripture. We must build our lives on God's truth. It speaks not only of Scripture, but I believe it speaks of sincerity, truthful living in the Christian experience. And there's a grammatical reason for that view. This word truth here in the Greek New Testament is anarthros, that is, it's without the definite article. And on that basis, some take this to mean truth in the inward parts. We're to be girt all about our loins with truth in the inward parts, as David referred to it in Psalm 51 and verse 6. It means that Christians must at all costs be honest and truthful. That is a very significant part of their armor against the wiles of the devil. And if they are not integrating into their life on a very practical basis the implications of truth revealed in the Scripture, if they are not truthful and honest, they can expect that they will be defeated. Paul says to be deceitful is to betray the truth, to lapse into hypocrisy, to be one thing up on the surface when indeed I am another thing down in the heart, to be deceitful, to lapse into hypocrisy, to resort to intrigue and scheming. All of us are capable of these things, whether at work or among our friends or in the home or even in the church, intrigue and scheming. To resort to those kinds of things is to play the devil's games. And we shall not be able to beat the devil if we are playing his games. Paul says we are to be girt all about with truth. What Satan abominates is transparent, sincere, without wax, truth. What he loves is darkness. And so Paul says we're to be girt about the loins with truth. Christians are called to build their lives on Scripture, and they're called to behave transparently and sincerely. Those two ideas go together. That's what it means to be girt about the loins with truth. It means we're called to build our lives on Scripture, and we're called to behave transparently and sincerely or truthfully. And as we do, it can be said justifiably of us that we have girt our loins with the truth. But then secondly, Paul says, we need not only the belt of truth, but we need the breastplate of righteousness. Do you notice that in verse 14? He says, we're to have our loins girt about with truth, and we'll be having on the breastplate of righteousness. We need the belt of truth because Satan is a liar, and we need to have the truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And there's nothing which silences the accusations of Satan like righteousness. That's what will silence his accusations. See, the breastplate in the ancient world, the breastplate was made of bronze, and it was backed with tough pieces of hide. It often covered not only the soldier's chest and front area, but also all the way around to the back, generally it went, so they'd be protected from the back as well as his front. And it went from the neck all the way down to the upper parts of the thighs. The breastplate was the major piece of armor for the Roman soldier, protecting all his most vital organs, in particular the heart and the lungs. So Paul says now the Christian's breastplate, that which protects him in the most vital areas, his heart and his lungs, the Christian's breastplate is righteousness. And I think Paul has in mind two kinds of righteousness. Let me share them with you briefly. Paul says you must have absolutely integrated into your life two kinds of righteousness. Without these kinds of righteousness, without this spiritual breastplate, you will be openly accessible in the vital areas of your life to the onslaught of the evil one. Number one, you need what we might call positional righteousness. And then number two, you need what we might call practical righteousness. Number one, you need positional righteousness. The moment a man trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, in that moment he is justified. And that word justified is the same Greek word, to be made righteous, to be declared righteous. The moment a man accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, he is justified, he is declared righteous. He has a whole new position, a whole new judicial standing before God. He's wrapped all around with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And no matter how vile and how corrupt he has been up to that point in his life, no matter how deeply and devastatingly he has allowed the pollutants of sin to invade his life, when a man is wrapped all around with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that kind of righteousness is sufficient to eliminate and stop any of the accusations of Satan against him. If we're wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what Satan says, God has accepted us. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. I think that's what the Scripture means when it says that Jesus Christ was made sin for us. That is to say, he was made a sin offering for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. I think that's what Paul meant when he said that Christ Jesus is made unto us righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the positional, the judicial, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which makes us fit to stand before God. And with that righteousness, we have an essential and an effective defense against an accusing conscience and against the slanderous accusations of the evil one. But we need not only a positional righteousness, I hope all of you have that. I don't want to take that for granted. I hope every one of you can say, I'm wrapped all around with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's on that basis that I anticipate a very bright eternity. The Heavenly Father will welcome me into the Father's home, not because I present to him my own self-righteousness, but because by faith I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm wrapped all around judicially with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is an absolutely indispensable, essential, and effective defense against the influence of the evil one. But we need not only a positional righteousness, but the Bible says we need a practical righteousness. The righteousness of the Christian is not only something positional, it is also to be practical. Not only do we need to be justified, we certainly need to be declared righteous by an act of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we need to be justified, we also need to be sanctified. To be sanctified means to be progressively conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's ultimate goal for our lives. His immediate goal is to save our souls. His ultimate goal is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We need not only to be justified, that's positional righteousness, we need to be sanctified, that is practical righteousness. We need to progressively, it's a slow process. For some of us, a very painful process, but it's a wonderful process. We need to be progressively conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be progressively morally ripened. If I take my stand in Christ's righteousness, it is expected that I will begin to live righteously. So Paul says, theology, that's your position in Christ, theology must be transmuted into morality. You must be morally ripened in your character and in your conduct. And Paul says, when a man is clothed, when a woman is clothed in righteousness, first the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then the righteousness of character and conduct. When a man is clothed in that kind of righteousness, he is impregnable. Satan can gain no access to his life, nor can he gain any victories in his Christian experience. So Paul says we must cultivate truth so that we can overthrow the devil's deceits, his lies. And we must cultivate righteousness so that we can overcome his temptations and his accusations against us. Here are two very powerful ingredients that we need in our lives. One, the belt of truth. Two, the breastplate of righteousness.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.